Particular scripture in Matthew.
Matthew 6, 19 through 21.
Okay.
It reads as, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there you will your heart be also."
Amen. Thank you for sharing that word.
Amen.
Why is it important that we read the scripture? Why don't we just dial it up and, you know, record it all the time? Because reading the scripture gives us personal strength.
Amen.
Seeing the word for ourselves. Again, I love the gadgets that we're never going back away from technology. But even the technology is not a substitute for us knowing the Bible. I mean, knowing it the best we can. We're not God, so we're not going to know everything there is to know, certainly, about God. But here in this chapter 6, it shares something with us that a lot of people don't seem to understand. Treasure is important.
Amen.
Treasure is important. And so we're going to talk a little bit about laying up your treasure for the Lord. Laying up your treasure for the Lord. We give it different titles from time to time, but the scripture he was reading says, don't lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth. That's the first thing, treasures upon earth. People value the treasure that we accumulate on earth, amen? There's no limit to how much money some people have been able to accumulate in the world. I wouldn't know what $1 trillion looked like if they put it on a table in front of me. But we know there's some people that's going to be in that category soon. There are a number of companies that are just tapping on that number. Because if you do things the right way, there are people who will follow you. Amen? It may not always be the best pattern, but sometimes people will just follow. There was a program on yesterday, and it was celebrating 50 years of hip-hop music and how it came to be so popular, starting from just a small group of people that love a certain sound and wanted to create for themselves. And it took 10 years, they say, to really break into the market so that radio stations would play the music. But now there's probably no music that is more popular. And I have to admit, I was one who, I remember my sons were letting me listen to some early on, and I said, okay, that's all right, but it's not going to be around for very long. People are going to go back to what they really, to real music is what I said.
Yeah.
Now, how wrong can you be
Amen.
About musical taste?
Amen.
But it takes people to also love what others love, and once they start coming together, there's power in unity. There's power in unity. And so the scriptures say, don't lay up for yourselves treasure.
Yes.
It says that treasure can be destroyed. They mention moths and thieves, and people will break in and steal. I hope none of you have ever had to deal with houses being broken into, but people will break into your place and take your stuff.
Yeah.
And not going to leave you any money, not going to leave you a note explaining why, what the hard situation is. Some people are just the type of people who will steal. Now, most people are hardworking, generous. I think you'd have to say that of most people in the world. But when you run across somebody who's not, it reminds you that you have to be careful where you lay up your treasures. They say, don't lay up your treasures in places where they can be taken. He say, lay up, and this is verse 20, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. Now, how can you lay up treasures in heaven? Well, what is it that God blesses us with? We say he's the only one who really knows our hearts. He knows how we value things. He knows what we value. And he's the one who knows when we are sincere about placing values on various things. Amen. There is nothing wrong with having treasure. Will somebody say amen?
Amen.
There's nothing wrong with having a 401k or a pension plan or just things that one invests in. I know I talk all the time about Warren Buffett because he's come to be somebody that I believe knows what he's talking about in terms of investing. The man makes $700 million a year on Coca-Cola stock. $700 million a year. That's doing a pretty good job of seeking out a good investment. Amen? If we could all do that, wouldn't life be a little better? See, God is not concerned about what we accumulate, because it really comes from him anyway. But it says that the difference is you can't fall in love with your treasure, whatever it is. So the Bible would say, what? The love of money. Doesn't he say that?
Yes, sir.
The love of money is the root of all evil. It doesn't say money is. Keep your money. Use your money while you're down here. But don't fall in love with it to the point that it becomes more valuable than family. It becomes more valuable than anything that we do in this world. Because the truth is, sometimes we're planning on having treasure down here, and it might just get washed away in a flood.
Amen.
Like there in the hill country. Nobody anticipated the rate of water and the amount of water that would come down that river. Because normally that river, when I around there are people on the Guadalupe River who float down on inner tubes because it's so peaceful normally. Mm-hmm. And that's another reason why they have camps and things there. It's just beautiful country.
Yeah.
But when nature rears up,
yeah.
Right. Nature can do what no other thing can do.
Amen.
God is powerful.
Amen.
And so as God is reminding us, we've got to make a distinction between where we place our treasure. Again, he's not saying not to have treasure. Having treasure is not a problem. When you study the Bible, you and I realize that some of the richest people in the world at the time were godly people. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they were the richest in the world. Samson, go on down the list. But there comes a time when we've got to know the difference between having money and having a love for money.
Yes, sir.
The love of money is what drives a lot of people to do wrong things.
Yeah.
All right. Had a person a few months ago, and I don't know how we got on that particular subject, but we were talking about cartels,
yes, sir.
Drug cartels in the world. And this person was trying to tell me there was no difference between being the head of a drug cartel or being the president of the United States. I said, what are you talking about?
Exactly.
He said that both the large groups, both control money,
yeah,
both have great power, and he didn't see the difference between one or the other. He said, sure, you can misuse it. Talked about the number of people that have been killed. I said, do you realize they've had more than 500,000 people killed since 2006 in the country that we were talking about? That's a lot of people who have given up their life normally for not falling in line with what somebody wants to do.
Yeah.
And when you're in that situation, what can you do? You can pray if you're a praying person. But how does God step in and allow us to see the difference in the treasure that we lay up for ourselves?
Yes.
And again, God, it appears that God's desire is that we lay up treasure. When we find ourselves in a situation where we're dependent on other people to buy our food, to take care of our family, we're in a tough spot.
Amen.
I think everybody would much better be much better off if they could just take care of their family, have food to eat, a roof over their head. And God can provide that because God can give us peace of mind. And so he says, pay attention.
Yes.
Pay attention to where your treasure is laid up.
Yeah.
And once you have treasure, give God the praise for that.
All right.
It's a good thing. Give God the praise. God is able to keep blessing and blessing and blessing, but he will not bless us if we don't know how to use the treasure that he gives us.
Amen.
I tell a story all the time. I have a son-in-law who played professional football with the Falcons. It's back in the early 90s. And he had a person on the team that, and I won't call any names, but he was making $77,000 each week, because they were paying him each week.
Yeah.
By the end of the season, he was broke. And nobody seemed to know where the money went. He knew, because he's the one who misused it.
Yeah.
But how do you blame somebody when they have a passion for spending money?
Uh-huh.
They made the money. I guess they could decide where they wanted to spend it.
Yeah.
But as we look at this scripture, God would remind us, be careful when you are able to control those kind of resources. Because just as you go up, does anybody know you can go down?
Yes, sir.
We can spend as much money as we make. Just talk to people around the country, around the world. You can spend as much as you make. Somebody would say, how can a billionaire ever go broke? Just make some bad investments and watch the money go up in smoke. But if we will trust God, if we will obey God, then we'll know the difference between laying up our wealth for the earthly things versus laying up our wealth for the godly things. And that difference is what would carry us. You can be a billionaire and be very happy in life. I believe that. Anybody believe that?
Yes, sir.
Because, again, there's so much that you could do. Or you could be a billionaire and be very sad and non-productive if you're not careful. One reason we have the Bible is that it passes on to us information that can let us lead lives that are peaceful, that are good lives, where we can help other people. Life cannot be just for ourselves. Amen? We believe God blesses so that we can bless others. And that's what the church has to teach. Don't be afraid of money. Money's a tool. It's nothing but a tool. And if used wisely, it can be a good thing for our families, for our churches. If not used wisely, like anything else, it can do us little or no good. And so when we look at this passage in Matthew, it closes by telling us the reason that God gives us this story. He says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
I
think that's a correct statement.
Yes, sir.
Where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be.
Yes,
in other words, that's where you and I will put our most energy.
Yeah.
That's where we put our greatest value.
All right.
And if we only remember that it comes from God, to be used for godly purposes. I saw that a couple of the world's richest people have decided they're not going to pass money on to their children. They're going to give it away in help groups, if you will, in philanthropy. And I wonder to myself sometimes, how would I feel as a child? My parents control so much money in the top 10 in the world for richest people, but they're not going to leave a nickel to the children. I don't think I would be happy. I don't know. Probably never faced that situation. But I don't think I'd be real happy about, leave me a billion, give me a place to start, right? That would be my thought. But God is simply explaining whatever decision you make, whatever choice you make, remember that God is the one in ultimate control of our situation. So God knows when I do something with the right purpose, and he'll know when I'm doing something for a bad purpose. Amen?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We want to be in that second, that first group. Do something for right purpose.
Yeah.
And then just watch God as he can bless in a powerful way. I'm always impressed to know that there are people in the family that have taken this investment thing seriously and seem to be doing real well. And I hope that that continues. Money does not have to corrupt a person.
Yeah.
Will somebody say amen?
Amen.
Don't be afraid to accumulate. Don't be afraid to keep some of it, but use it to the best of your ability and watch God move in your life, in my life, because he is a great God.
Yeah.
And when we come to the point, church, where we believe what this Bible says, then we realize we've got a blueprint for how God wants us to go. He really doesn't eliminate anything in our life except righteous living. But other than that, he gives us a lot of flexibility down here because he recognizes everybody's not going to be a preacher. Everybody's not going to go to church on a regular basis.
Yeah.
When you find somebody who loves the Lord and puts God first in their life, don't be surprised to find out that good things happens to that person who will put God first. Amen?
Amen.
He is a mighty good God. We want to praise his holy name. We want to be that church. We don't have to be the biggest church in town, but we ought to be a focused church, a church that wants to do good for people,
yeah,
wants to help people, wants to find future generations loving God and headed in the right direction. And if we do that, we don't believe there's any limit to what God can do through that little church on the corner.
Yeah.
He's a mighty good God. Amen. So help me just as we think about how God shows us what real love is about and how to accumulate. God is holy, he's mighty, he's powerful, he can do anything but fail. But that's only if we allow him to have a direction in our lives. In other words, God has not fixed it so that every human's gonna follow him, that every human's going to love, and that's not the way it's set up. God waits for people to want to be part of his kingdom.
Yeah.
And when they come forward, he wants to support them, encourage them, and let them know, if you put me first in your life can and will be better.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's really what Calvary was all about.
Yeah,
Calvary
yeah,
was
yeah.
about pointing out direction. Calvary was about pointing out that sometimes things are going to go good. They're going to salute you. They're going to put down the palm branches so you can come in the town celebrating. And then sometimes the people may sell you out. The people may not want you to do good. And so Jesus, even though he was holy and mighty and all powerful, he allowed the situation to develop around him so that the people who didn't want him to do well would think that they had won the battle. They would think they had turned him over to the Romans.
Yeah.
They would think that there was nothing that he could do but just lay down his life and be gone from them so they could do what they wanted to do. But the truth was, Jesus never lost control of the situation. He knew what was coming. He knew why it was coming.
Yeah.
But he also knew that if he didn't follow the leading of his Father, that he wouldn't accomplish what they wanted to do. Well, preacher, what was it they wanted to do? They wanted to give all of us, all humans, a situation where if you will trust me and believe in me, you can have eternal life.
Yeah.
And eternal life is so much greater than the treasure we can lay up down here that could be stolen or taken or just rot away. You ever had a house that sat in a place for so long and nobody cared for it and eventually just fell down? Fell down.
Yeah.
And probably all it needed was some attention, some maintenance, and could be very useful to somebody. So let's remember who Jesus is. Let's remember what love Jesus has for us. Because one day, church, we're going to have to move on from down here. It's temporary. No matter what our situation is, no matter what riches or lack of riches we might have, one day we all going to have to move from down here.
Yes, sir.
And we want to have a good name when that time comes. where God says to a servant, well done. And if we can hear those words, we'll know we've been following the map that we've been given. So praise God for who he is.
Yeah, yeah.
Lift him up whenever you can.
All right. Yeah.
And by doing that, your life, my life, will be better.
Amen.
Let's give God a hand clap of praise.
Amen.
For who he is. He is a mighty good God.
Amen.
We always stop to open the doors of the church. Somebody would say, well, there's nobody there who's not a member.
Thank you for listening to a recent sermon from Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church. We pray that you have been blessed by the preaching of God's Word. Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church is located at 16813 Huffsmith Corville Road, Houston, Texas, 77070. Our Sunday worship services are held at 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m., with Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. Please come out and join us for worship, study, and fellowship, where our motto is, "We are the branch, but He is the vine."